Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did subliminal messages have a paranormal meaning for one listener? Also, childhood exploration of abandoned buildings leads to an unexpected encounter with a ghost.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to call in and share your real ghost story with us. You can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file to me. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y. At realghoststoriesonline.com. Tony and Sean Reed with you on this fine day. 100 and some degrees in many parts of the country as it's being recorded, as we're doing, it's kind of a heat wave. Is that what is going on?
Well, it's not so much the heat, Tony. It's the humidity.
Yeah, of course. It's exactly what it is.
It wraps around you like a big, thick, hot Arkansas summer blanket. I feel I'm the pig in the blanket today.
Is that how you did your weather forecast today on the radio? Did you describe it like that?
I did, and then followed it up with a really smooth Joe Nichols. Now it is not sunny in 75. Thanks for listening.
That's good. Is that the title of a song? I don't even know anymore.
Country music is the day job, and there is a song by an artist that is called Sunny and 75. So It is very fun to make a weather joke when you introduce that song.
How many times have you made a cliche weather joke going into that song now?
Including today. One.
One?
Once.
Okay.
It's a pet peeve in the world of radio, people that do that. But everybody's got their thing, whether they're a doctor, whether they're on the radio, whether they're a dentist, as I visited yesterday, so I apologize in advance for the words that do not make sense. Everybody's got, you know, their thing that annoys them, and that's mine.
I haven't been to a dentist in several years, and I probably should go just to get, like, a regular checkup. Was it a checkup you were going for, or were you having work done?
It was work, and it was 100% voluntarily done work, which was not a requirement. I didn't have any teeth pulled. But when you get paid to talk for a living, You should probably think it all the way through before you go to the dentist.
What did you have done? Were you getting Botox in your gums to beef them up a little bit? Or
a little bit. They were a bit droopy.
Yeah.
I got a new front bumper. The best way to describe it in the dentist world. The top teeth in the front.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to say to the extent of David Letterman, but you know, to get real for a second, there was a little self consciousness going on, and got it closed up.
Oh, is it like a procedure where it's like a brace thing, or how do they do that?
It's called veneers. Veneers.
Oh, so is
oh
it,
yeah,
that like goes on like over your teeth, right?
Yeah, it's like a cap. It's real nice. Doctor was nice enough to explain it to me. That was about 13 months ago, just enough time to forget what he said would actually be done to my teeth, which are happy and healthy. They're good teeth, but they basically seventh grade wood shop. Did you ever take woods and metals with the old it's like sandpaper but on a drill?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's go to work, chisel away, and then they pop a new bumper on there, and you're good as gold.
So did they give you any sort of were you knocked out? Did you have any Novocaine? Did you have anything, or were you present for this lovely experience?
Nothing. 100% present. Okay. As my dentist, good guy, said, we basically are we're not going to go past surface level. So you'll feel something very mild before anything excruciating. So I said, what's the safe word? What's the safe word, doc? We went with bananas. And there was a half an uttering of banana. But aside from that, that was good. Now, mind you, when there's a drill in your mouth, you can't really say banana.
That's true.
So made a noise. We made it. And in about 2.5 hours, checking account's a little lower, mm-hmm. and I can almost talk.
Well, there you go. In terms of traumatic experiences in your life and top 10, where would this fall?
Yeah, you know, we'll go maybe 12th.
12th? Okay. So it's up there. Not quite top 10, though.
Self-inflicted, correct. Self-inflicted. I chose to do this, yes. Okay.
All right. Well, that's good to know. I never even really noticed your giant gap tooth ever.
And that's a thing that everybody listening right now, you have that thing. Maybe you wear your hair this way because mm-hmm. you cover this, or maybe you think your left ear is bigger than your right ear. Everybody's got their thing.
Sure.
And it's comforting that you say that, because now I want to press Control Alt Delete and maybe go back and not do this. But thank you for being honest.
Press reset. Doesn't quite work that way. But well, there you go. Mm-hmm. Adventures in Dentistry. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first letter. It says, hey, guys, just wanted to mention something I heard about years ago that seemed to be very accurate. I had done some research, a research paper back in college, about how backmasking and subliminal messages pretty much became a witch hunt well before I was born. Some were simple, like stupid messages in music, especially the Beatles. But before television went, they only had a radio. They did it often with simple words or sounds that would catch your attention, like, it's just how mother used to make it. That stuff is generally harmless. If anything, it could make someone who is paranoid worse, but I'm trying to avoid that concept. And I mean this from a standpoint where people are afraid of mind control. I mean, it's similar to a catchy jingle, something that may want you to buy a product. This is where it gets interesting, because you're not supposed to smell anything in your dreams unless the smell is actually present or you sleep, like coffee in the morning, breakfast smells you typically wake up to. Problem I stumbled upon was a weight loss device used, and I remember it during the early 90s when I was a kid, because I knew people who did it. They sold some tapes about hypnosis in your sleep, along with some blindfolds you wear that had some timer where a dim light would flash, and it would let you know you had a dream. So more than often, people trying to lose weight would dream of eating, mainly because you can eat wherever you want in your dreams without gaining weight. Well, it sounds great for someone who has had a bad eating disorder. Our dreams are not intended to be manipulated in that way. Most of those people ended up having sleeping disorders. It made it worse if they don't get their fix while sleeping. It would just make it worse when they woke up, and they'd be craving food worse than they normally did after reality set in. It's strange how the mind works, but the psychology behind actual sleep is exactly why most people don't recall much of the dream. It's when you rest that you wake up refreshed to go about your next day instead of feeling like you were awake all night. With that out of the way, I had to mention that you don't smell anything when you sleep. Taste is slightly different. There's an article on Coca-Cola for releasing their cans in white color for winter, and too many people claim to taste it like Diet Coke. They got so bad they recalled the cans and released the normal red design again, and the recipe never changed. So just remember that taste can be visual. If you ever have a dream where you smell something, you have to be very cautious. And this is why that hypnosis thing doesn't exist anymore. We have our five senses of sight, sound, taste, touch, and smell that are not required to sleep. Visual and hearing are only required, while others can blend along while you sleep, because sight and sound merely distract us not to think if it's a pleasant dream. Nightmares, on the other hand, are closer to the concept of that aspect when you're sleeping, but you're far from resting and will likely wake up in distress because you're likely in fear, or you were stimulated in some way that you can't rest. It's also an addiction of substances, addiction in general, or fear in general that can trigger it. Problem with that is also just being scared. I don't want to dwell too much on that subject, but it's also why all of those subliminal messages were banned. They had some commercials that were done so well, you literally dreamed of buying the clothes, eat the food, live in the house. And some of the best were the military commercials, where men had dreams of being that hero in the military and coming home as a hero before they even bothered enlisting. They could smell the gunpowder in their dreams before they even held a gun. It was that bad, and it's why they blamed it on food or that rock and roll music. They just to leave a friendly reminder, be very careful when you smell things in your dreams, because it's highly uncommon, but the scent of certain items can also manipulate people into acting in some ways. Women in particular can be manipulated if someone smells like their father's aftershave. If kids have the smell of a holiday or the smell of their birthday cake, they might act more excited than usual. This can get crazy, but once you're aware of this, you're more likely to prevent yourself from allowing these forms of dreams to manipulate you. Once you're aware of it, it no longer works, which is what I wanted to let everyone know. I also intentionally avoided the concept of wet dreams because that's generally a puberty thing for kids that I felt was inappropriate to elaborate it on. It's a crazy concept to know that smelling, that the smelling thing is part of all the commercials we hear. Most of the time, people who smell things in their dreams are addicted to anything from drugs to chocolate, fast food, or buying shoes. Once you catch it early, your mind becomes aware. The fascination of it no longer becomes enticing unless you're physically addicted to it. I figured it'd help some people who may have experienced this, and I'll mention that even the most original dreams can feel scary. But you should never limit your imagination. If you watch that show, The Wonder Years, you should know that it's common to think to yourself often, as long as you're in full control of what you're telling yourself. More than likely, if you have questioned your sanity at one point in your life, that you're probably sane and are fully aware that something could go wrong. But it's the people who never question it. They have no idea or control of anything to begin with. Even to those who are insane, just don't hurt anybody and go about your merry day. Long as my family or I won't be harmed, I don't mind them. Thanks for reading. Now it's time for me to go back to work and save my sick days for the upcoming Halloween fun. Thanks for the show. So, interesting letter, not exactly ghost related, but you know, relating. We have stories of dreams all the time, so some interesting insight there about smells in dreams, about senses in dreams, and I think sometimes they stand out as being more than just a dream. And we've talked about that many times. I can't recall ever smelling anything in a dream. Do you have any? You can hear, you can see. Taste is another one that seems to never really happen, even when you do eat food in dreams. It's very disappointing. What about you?
It's more memory-based. I don't think it's... I can't remember back a dream, even the ones that you question yourself. Did that really happen when you see the person that was in the dream that you think's a dream, but you're not sure it was a dream? You almost even want to ask them.
Yeah.
Smell, taste, that's more memory-based as far as when you hear a song or you smell a smell or... time of year, you instantly go back to that moment in your life. But dream-based, no, that was getting very intricate. I thought we were going to call Bill Nye the Science Guy, and he was going to analyze sodas and craziness. I don't know where that was going. I was waiting for the ghost, and we never got there.
I was kind of, too. I was like, okay, where is this going? It was an interesting comment on a lot of things we talk about, so I thought I would allow it in, just because it does kind of pertain to a lot of the dreams that we have. And a lot of times when someone says they're having, they had a dream where they visited someone, or someone visited them from the other side, and they wake up and go, look, this was just so different. It just seemed so real. One of the senses that they do talk about experiencing oftentimes is smell, where it's like I was in a field and I could smell the fresh cut grass. The china had never been used. They called it the ship of dreams, and it really was. But it's one of those things where, okay, that is one of those senses where otherwise in dreams it would not be present, but it almost gives some validation then to this is more than a dream when they have a visitation where some senses that otherwise wouldn't be touched there seem to be touched upon.
I would agree. I can even think of the worst dreams that I have had. Have you ever had the dream where your parents die?
No, I've not. Well, when I was a little kid, I had one dream where like my mom died in it, but that was it. I was really little. It scared the heck out of me, but that was it.
Yeah, that's happened in the last 5-ish years, and on multiple occasions. They're different dreams, yeah. But both of them involve parents, and again, not so much taste or smell, but I'll tell you what, you want to wake up and feel a little bit assertive to call parent, call mom, call dad in the cell phone, and have some reassurance when they answer, oh, it was just a dream. We're good.
How did that call go at 3 a.m.?
It was... after 9 a.m., I made it through sleep. I must have been sound asleep because the dream was so vivid that I didn't wake up till 7, 8. It's not one of those okay. Where I woke up in a cold sweat. And quite honestly, my dad, I think he was a bit confused. He's like, but I'm fine. I'm here. Thanks, Dad. Thank you. Thank you. I just had an anxiety attack, crapped myself, and I was just calling to tell you I love you and that you're still on Earth. But I apologize for interrupting you watching the Brewer game because you didn't watch it last night because you were watching the Packers and you didn't want to watch both and you wanted to watch both of them in their full entirety. Love you. Talk to you never. Dick.
I
but
think
anyway,
there's some
enough of my my family troubles. Or on to ghost talk.
Aggression here. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I have a strange story because it was a local thing I grew up with when I was around first grade. I know it was late one night and my mother took me to the park with one of my cousins after we went to one of the harvest festivals. We were still wide awake by the time it was already dark outside, and I remember it sort of being scary if someone wasn't around. We were still hyper from all the rides, candy, and funnel cakes that night. My guess would be sometime after midnight, but my mother let us play in the park right next to where they had a laundry room, and she'd walk outside to keep an eye on us, but we were clearly giggling and playing, so they knew that we were okay. We got to play until they were washed and dried, so I'm guessing it had to be well past midnight. When we were outside, I recall it being one of the few times I wanted to go home from the park, all sleepy and seeing our breaths in the air with our sleeves pulled over our hands to keep warm. I just remember being picked up on the way home, and the rest was a blur until I woke up the next day. We found out later that someone got scared seeing us playing there that night and filed a police report, which was in the local newspaper, that stirred up more comments about the place being haunted. Some people found it funny, but I remember being upset because that was one of my favorite playgrounds, and they ended up getting rid of all the cool wooden setup that they had the next year and installing a bunch of lights around that place after the complaints. There were plenty of religious people back then. Some people likely made it worse by leaving candles out to bless the park, but I think it was a mistake. I just wanted to mention that because too many people tend to go to extremes instead of being rational about things. But there were apparently the time when my cousin and I were mistaken for haunting a park. I guess it happens in some small towns where the people get so bored their minds wander far too much. It even got worse when one of the older residents died while walking home near the park. After that happened, they tore it down and it ended up just being a grass field where most people walk their dogs and nobody wanted to step foot on anything gross there. Thanks for reading. I just thought about it when I heard about those articles where people claim there was broken glass and razor blades in parks, which turned out to be isolated incidents. Keep up the great show. I'm still looking forward to Halloween. Have a blessed year, everyone. Well, that's funny where they were mistaken for ghosts. And there's probably people who now have ghost stories about kids that were just playing in the park when it turns out to be.
And they seem so realistic. I mean, the only way that they could actually be real is that they were waiting for laundry to finish drying. But, I mean, what mother in their own right would have that kids up that late?
That's not a great parenting choice right there. That's fairly irresponsible parenting. But I think that's funny where they literally, you know, the park kind of got shut down and retooled because of the rumors. And it's a great lesson in... try and narrow things down a little bit before you automatically assume it's something paranormal. You know,
that actually takes work, though. That actually takes time and effort and staying focused for more than a like or a swipe. Come on now.
If you can't like it or swipe it, it's not worth it. That's pretty much how
it must be true. It says it right here. It's bold. It's in italics. There's a link.
There's a 15-second video with really large letters and a bunch of clips of videos and people smiling and clips from 90s television show reaction shots. So it must be completely legitimate.
Telling me to give them my Social Security number. Why wouldn't I? Yes, but I quite honestly, I think in this conversation is for a whole different topic. But yes, I think somebody says something specifically in smaller communities, people that you know, that you believe they wouldn't tell you misinformation. Mm-hmm. You hear it from the Johnson boy who's neighbors with Bill and Bill's cousin's dog's uncle's sister's wife. By the time it comes back to you, it's a ghost. And, well, we must shut this down. Yeah. And it was just a couple of kids hanging out.
So a lot of, I think, urban legends start in, like, small town, you know, legends and lore where it may have been absolutely nothing paranormal, but it's exactly what you described. It's the telephone game, and then eventually it turns into something far worse than it actually was. Very interesting and rare ever, though, to hear it from the perspective of the person who it's about, who can...
I'm not a ghost!
Yeah.
I'm a real person.
Exactly.
We were just bored waiting for the whites to dry.
Thanks for writing in and sharing that story with us here on the show. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Tony from Savannah, Georgia. I've been wanting to call in for a while. I think the last time I tried to call in was about 4 years ago, and it kept cutting me off. Anyway, I'm calling in now, and I'm getting through now. So my story's a little short, but I want to kind of set up my story with a point of view. My I own my own business here in Savannah, and because of my business, I frequent hosts of historic buildings, etc. And I've written in stories in the past from personal experiences and experiences of others. Now, to be honest, I don't believe in ghosts in the sense of dead loved ones or pets coming back, but I think it's something more sinister, something that that preys on people's emotions while they grieve. I do believe that there are two types of spirits, good and bad, both of which are angels. Now, the bad angels are the ones called demons that mimic dead loved ones to manipulate people and gain their trust, sometimes doing good things for several years, playing the long game, so to speak, watching and waiting, preying on emotionally distressed individuals. Now, the good angels, the ones that are in service to God, Yahweh, or Jehovah, do indeed help people. And even within those angels, good and bad, there are certain levels of angels, some having great powers or just having a higher or using a higher level of science that we just don't understand yet, and whom have lesser powers. Now, I think that's why in some of the stories you guys get, some spirits seem more powerful than others. And because these spirits are highly manipulative, they transform themselves into whatever the particular person may be afraid of, interested in, etc. Now, those are my beliefs based on the Bible itself. But I am doing research on the science of the paranormal. Why we get the feelings of someone in the room with us, why we sometimes get that sick feeling, or why a room or atmosphere, why those temperatures sometimes fall or change, and in some cases they rise when spirits are near. Anyway, my story today comes from when my 4-year-old daughter came into the room. Now, my wife and I were sleeping, and I was awakened by a loud bang. Now, I jumped out of bed, and when I reached the end of the bed, I was stopped by my daughter, just standing there, looking straight ahead. This was already creepy as all get out, but what she said, now, you know, kids are creepy to me anyway, but, you know, this is coming from a guy who's got several, but anyway, what she said next creeped me out. She said in a whisper, "They're in now." And she then laughed in that, you know, little kid voice, which is, you know, kind of creepy. Now, the first thing I did was run to the front door, and I proceeded to look around the house to see if there was an intruder. But the first thing that caught my eye was that the front door was open. Now, we have a huge wooden door, you know, the kind of door that be still standing even after a hurricane has come through and torn down the complete house. Yeah, that kind of door. But then there's a storm door that's metal and a glass top that slides down. Now, the wood door was open, but the storm door was still locked. Now, keep that in mind. You know, the storm door has the glass that slides down and exposes a screen door. Now, that glass pane is a pane. Sorry, I couldn't resist. But no one, not even my wife, slides this particular glass down. Now, how did the huge door open? This door weighs at least 150 pounds. Can spirit get through screen doors? Can they slide through those little tiny holes? You know, hey, if you guys know what, you know, how this could happen, let me know. But anyway, if you guys are ever in Savannah, all drinks, food, historic tours, they're all on me. I can take you guys around to some of the best spots in the city outside of the whole touristy thing. I think you guys will really like that. Anyway, if I can remember, I think you guys came when we were going downtown, was going through some major rehabs, and it was a bit of a mess. Anyway, I think we were going to meet a couple years back. I think it's about 2 years back, you know, until I found out that the weekend you guys were coming kind of like fell on my anniversary, and unfortunately I was out of town. So I would really love to see you guys if you come back. All right, bye.
There we go. Unmute the mic. There we go. So what are your thoughts on that story and that that situation?
Oh, and I also, I forgot one more thing.
Oh, hang on.
Part about the door.
I forgot one more thing. If you guys want to make sure that you get rid of spirits that are unwelcome in your home, you can do two things. The first thing you can do is make sure you're looking around to make sure that there are no objects or anything, because what I found out with a lot of what I've been studying and kind of going around and researching is that they're usually attached to something, and it's something, sometimes it's even, unfortunately, you know, like you guys have found out, it's usually land, but for the most part it's an object, and sometimes it could be an object that you would not even thinking of. I mean, just a small locket or just anything. It can be attached to, it could have been used in any number of things. And the second way, the most effective way out of everything, every single thing, and I've never heard it mentioned on you guys' show before, and that is mentioning the name of God, and that is Jehovah. And I came across this in several different iterations of people that I've talked to, and people that have actually used this, and it has actually worked. And you know, but it works in a short term, but if you keep doing it repetitively, that's another word I can't say, over and over again, it'll actually work to rid and to keep away. But you have to use that in connection with getting rid of any objects that may have been used. And sometimes that's kind of hard to do, because you don't know exactly what may have been used or may not have been used. Something may have been passed down, might be a family heirloom. I guess you guys have actually talked and touched on that in past episodes as well. So anyway, that's just something to kind of think about, just to you know, that can be like a kind of demon away of sorts. All right, love the show. Bye.
So some interesting thoughts there, opinions, I would say, on a lot of it. I disagree with some of the opinions. I'm not disagreeing that he had those experiences, but I disagree with what he thinks ghosts are, you know, it's a very black and white view.
I think he's trying to make a definitive, evidence, scientific thought on something that is not. It means it is 100% how you interpret it, and yeah. I think he was just trying to look for concrete evidence.
Yeah, and I think we naturally do that with stuff like this, because it can be very confusing. It can be very troubling. I would just say, you know, I would say at one point in my life I viewed ghosts the way he did, of, you know, good, bad. But after doing this for how many years and all how many stories, it's like they're just, I have a thousand ways I could contradict the reasoning, and with stories that don't necessarily end in, you know, being bad, if you will, or that have some sort of other route to them. But
in the beginning of the phone call, when he was good and bad, evil, and I thought he was describing an ex-girlfriend.
And he's like, and anyway, now let's talk about ghosts. But
and then I said, oh, an ex-girlfriend of mine. I thought, my goodness, you're reading her bio. But
855-853-4802. One more story here before we wrap up the show for today. Hi, you are on the air. Let's hear your ghost story.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. I have called in a story 2 or 3 times. I called it in and I kept getting cut off every time I was like on the phone. So I wrote it in one time and it never aired, and I thought maybe I just missed it, or maybe you guys decided not to air it, and I sent you an email about it and you said that you don't remember it at all. So I don't know what happened. Not going to say that it was paranormal, but I don't really know what happened to make that story not air. But anyways, I'm going to tell it again as quickly as I can with as much detail, so it's not too long. But anyway, so it started back in, I think it was 2015. I had my friend and his girlfriend had moved in together, and summer of 2015 I moved in with them, and he had told me about this house that was down the road from the small trailer we lived in. We lived out in the middle of nowhere where we didn't have Wi-Fi. We couldn't even get Wi-Fi, so it was pretty boring, but it was also the first time we were all out of our parents' house and out on our own. So We looked for things to do, just things to get into that we shouldn't have. And this house was, he said, haunted. And it was a murder had happened, a brutal murder had happened back around 2004, 2005. And it was four people that lived there that these people came in looking for money. And they just brutally murdered him. And so we decided to go in there. And, I mean, the house is abandoned and it's halfway burnt down and there's just junk piled up everywhere where nobody's cleaned it out. It's just there. And we decided to go in there. And the first few times were nothing too crazy. I mean, it was, you would hear knocks and you would hear things like slam against the wall. And it was really scary, but we would run out. But there wasn't really much of a story in that. Where the story comes in is later on, he and I decided that we were going to get a Ouija board and go into the house and play with the Ouija board, and that's always a bad idea, I'll just tell you that. So the day that we were planning on doing this was, he and I were both off of work. All of us worked together, him, his girlfriend, me, and the girl I was dating at the time. We all worked together, but it was my second job, so I only worked there on the weekends. And every now and then I would just take a day off on the weekend so that I had a day off between the two jobs I was working. And he happened to have that same day off. So while him and I were chilling, just playing video games and stuff, I believe we were playing Blitz the League. And we were going to go to the store down the road. There's not much out in that area. There's a small store that we were going to go to and get some sodas and some chips and stuff. And when we were leaving that store, we were wondering what this house looked like in the daytime, because we had only been there at like 2 or 3 in the morning. And when you go in there, what was freaky about it is you would go in there at, we'd go at 2 or 3 in the morning, like I said, and it's the dead heat of the summer in Alabama. So even at nighttime, you're still, I would say, between 75 and 80 degrees outside on the low end. So when we went into this house, everything got so cold that we could see our own breath. And that was really freaky to me, because it's the middle of the summer, the end of June or the beginning of August, somewhere in there. So anyways, we wanted to go and see if that same kind of thing happened during the day, where it got darker and colder. And we got there and it didn't really, there wasn't really that freaky of a thing about it. It was just a house that was halfway there. And we had heard of this old ritual. I don't know if it's just like an old wives' tale or what, but supposedly if you have a mirror facing an open doorway, that's a portal for spirits and demons. So I don't know if that's true or not, but we had heard it. And he found this little mirror that was like a, not like a handheld mirror, but just like a small mirror. Maybe like the size of one you'd put in your locker or something. But it was behind the kitchen sink, the faucet. And he picked it up and faced it towards a doorway behind him. And it was so rusted over that he couldn't see anything in it. So he just set it back down on the counter. He didn't put it back where he got it. And we continued through the house. And we found this room that we had never seen. He or I had not ever noticed it. That we saw like a small doorway, but we thought it was just like a closet. Every time it was nighttime, we didn't get that far in there. And so we decided to check it out. Now, when we walked back there, it was like the room that door went into was kind of like a hallway. I've only ever seen this in like older houses, so I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but it's like a hallway where you walk in the front door of the house and every room is just either on the left or the right, and the hallway goes like straight through the house, and it ended where the kitchen was, which is where we came in the back door, and I guess like a little dining room or something. That room was burned off, so I don't really know what it used to be. If it was a bedroom or a dining room or what. So we walked into this little hallway, and there's just a bunch of rubble and a bunch of papers, newspapers and all kinds of stuff. And the weird thing about it, there was this one nightstand that was just standing in the middle of the hallway, just right smack dab in the middle. And I remember everything. There were three things on it. I remember specifically these three things were on it. One of them was a horse trophy. It was like a golden plastic trophy with a horse on top of it. There was a really old empty perfume bottle, and one of those small green little New Testament Bibles that you usually see like handed out in church and stuff. And so we're looking at all this stuff because we had never been in this room before. And he picked up the Bible, and under it, he saw this little coin. And he picked it up and looked at it, and he was like, this is kind of weird. And so I looked at it, and it was like really shiny on one side, and on the opposite side, it was really rusty. I don't know how that happened, it being under a Bible the whole time. I have no idea. But one side of the coin had a Confederate flag on it, and the other side said, join us, and had like a little army man or something, like an old school Confederate soldier or something. I don't really know. And we didn't really know if it was like valuable or not, but we also didn't want to disturb whatever was in that house that we were here and knocking around, and we didn't want to test anything, and we also just didn't want to flat out steal. We weren't even supposed to be in the house. It was technically trespassing, but so we didn't want to just take stuff that we found in there, because that's kind of a bad omen. But he put it back down, and he put the Bible back on top of it, and we started to walk out because we didn't want to stay there too long. We didn't want somebody to drive by and see us in there and, you know, call the cops or come out there and try to, you know, hurt us in any way or something, because we, like I said, it is trespassing. So it was better for us to go at night when there's not really any cars on the road. And we found, when we walked back into the kitchen going back towards the back door, he saw that he had set the mirror down on the counter, and he was like, I'm going to put this back where I found it, so that hopefully we don't disturb anything, because we were going back that night to play with the Ouija board, and we didn't want anything to be mad. The main reason we wanted to play with the Ouija board was to find out, to have a way to communicate with the spirit that wasn't just it throwing stuff. We didn't know, you know, if we were making it angry. I mean, I would assume we were, but I wasn't thinking like that back then. I was just in that whole mindset where I wanted to figure this stuff out. And so when he picked that mirror up to put it back where it was, that same coin was laying under the mirror. So he picked it up and the coin was there. We had just walked back from that room. And we kind of bickered about it a little bit, like, don't mess with me like that. Like, you know, we were kind of, you could tell both of us were kind of like eyeballing each other. Like, don't, we're supposed to not do practical jokes against each other when we're doing stuff like this. So we made an agreement, and then we both kind of realized neither of us did it. There was no way for either of us to do that, because I was walking in front of him, so he would have saw me do it, and I watched him put the thing back down under the Bible. But you know, there's always still that doubt. So what I did, I was like, I'm gonna leave this coin here, but I'm gonna hide it, because we walked back to that room again just to see if it was still there, and it wasn't. So it had, obviously it was the same exact coin, it moved. And I was like, I'm going to put it right here, and we're going to see if it's back here tonight when we come back with the girls. And he was like, okay. And this drawer was like halfway open. I pulled it out, put the coin in it, and I went to close it. And it was like super hard to push close, and you had to just wiggle it around and everything and make a ton of noise to do it. And he and I walked out at the same time, turned around and looked from the outside that drawer was still closed. Neither of us had the coin. We were both standing there when I put it in there, and we left and we went home, and we told the girls about it. We were told them that we hid it. We didn't tell them where we hid it, but we told them we hid it in there and we had found it. And it was just this weird thing that we weren't really sure that we saw what we saw, you know, doubting ourselves. And then after that, we waited on them to get home. His girlfriend was supposed to go to her grandmother's house, and she said that her grandmother had a Ouija board that she was going to borrow, and then she was going to bring it, and we were going to use it. And when she went to her grandmother's house to find it, it wasn't there. And the girl that I was dating at the time was supposed to come over as well, and she was going to go out there with us. And she had been out there a couple of times with us. But so we are, as we're sitting there waiting on them to get home, they finally show up. She tells us that she doesn't have the Ouija board, so we're sitting there thinking, what are we gonna do? And it hit us. My buddy was like, I have those trays that we had at Hardee's, which is where we worked at. And he was like, I have those plastic trays, and we can take those and take a Sharpie and draw our own Ouija board on it. And I was like, okay, well, what do we use as the planchette? We just kind of scavenged around, and we found like a math compass that's like, it's got a pencil on one end and a sharp point on the other, and you can like draw circles and shit with it. Well, I don't really know what they're used for that much, because I haven't used one in years. But anyway, so we got that. We were like, we can use this as a planchette. So we get up and we walk out to go to his car to grab the board we were going to make into the Ouija board. And when we opened the door, that coin was on our doorstep. And we looked at each other, and the girls looked at us, and they were like, what is that? And we were like, that's the coin we were telling you about. I don't know where, why it's here. I don't know how it got here, but they were thinking we were messing with them, and we were trying to tell them, no, this is real, you know? This is really happening, and we're going to go over there, and we're going to ask about it with this Ouija board. So we went out there, we got the board, the tray, we made the board, and we started out the door to go back to the house, and when we opened the door, the coin was gone again. And she said, which one of y'all picked it up? Stop messing with me. She was like thinking, getting mad, thinking that we were messing with her, and I was like, how could we be messing with you? We've all been inside this whole time. You watched us leave it there on the porch. None of us even touched it, and it's gone. And we looked everywhere for it. We looked between, we looked under the little porch and everything, and we couldn't find it anywhere. So we just got in the car, we went back over there, and we walk into the house. It's pitch black, freezing cold again. He throws the board on the floor, like in the kitchen where we were going to play with it at, and we start walking towards that room again, and we hear something like fall, like something really lightweight fall, light and metal. And I hear the girl that I was dating at the time, I hear her go, what the fuck? And so we like turned around really fast because we didn't know what was going on. And she said, something just hit me in the back of the head. It was like something thumped me. And I looked on the floor behind her was the coin where it had hit her in the back of the head and fell to the floor. So I have a lot more stories about that coin, and I can send another story about, you know, what happened with the Ouija board that night when we played with it. It was pretty terrifying, but I just wanted to mainly tell that coin story because that's the most unexplainable one to me, and it's the one that I can tell people. If I tell anybody, I don't really tell a lot of people because a lot of people think I'm crazy, but it's the one like head turner where people are like, oh, maybe this kind of thing is real. Maybe he's not making this up, because I don't see any way of, you know, that happening. But they, most people just say that my friend was messing with me, but I know he wasn't. You know, I was there and I saw everything happen. Plus, when the coin hit her in the back of the head, there was nothing behind her except a wall. And him, me, and the other girl were all standing in front of her when it happened. But anyways, I can tell the rest of the stories if you're interested. But I mainly just wanted to get this one out there. So hopefully this one gets to you. Anyways, I love the show. I've been an EPP for a couple years now. And yeah, I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
It's like having a cursed Confederate coin in your coin collection.
I just thought to myself, if that's a short version of the story, a long.
Exactly. My thoughts exactly. But what an experience. I mean, obviously, you know, you keep asking for things to happen. You're playing with a Ouija board that you've made out of a Hardee's tray. I don't think anything's good is going to come out of that.
I mean, nothing personal, but anything and everything you're not supposed to do to provoke or to. They did. So, congratulations that the only thing that happened was your girl, that's no longer even your girl current day, got hit in the head with a penny.
Not just any penny, though. That's a magical penny. That's one hell of a penny. I just don't think anything, you know, of that era that would have been around and would have seen stuff, not good stuff happening, is ever going to be... I think it's something you want to hold on to as a keepsake of this is a neat thing I found. I think that might just be, I'm going to kind of get rid of this. Although sometimes when people do that, it just keeps coming back and keeps reappearing. But I would say if you're going to make a Ouija board out of a fast food restaurant tray, is Hardee's really the one you want to do? I'm thinking more, I don't know, Wendy's? What would be a good fast food Ouija tray?
You know, it's funny you mentioned it. Hardee's is very underrated. You think of it very much as, you know, 1994, enjoyed it when I was 12, 13, but they're coming back. They're coming back. Milkshakes, those fries, they got a pretty solid chicken sandwich. And this has nothing to do with the Hardee's Corporation or such. I just, I would say Wendy's too, but Hardee's really up into their game.
I miss the old Hardee's of the 90s
And that's what I'm comparing it to, because that's about the last time I ate there. So.
And they are coming back, though. You're right, because I thought they were dead for a while, but all of a sudden they're kind of growing out again. But I remember like when they were almost like, it was like a cousin to McDonald's almost. The food was almost identical in size. Now Hardee's is kind of doing those big, giant, thick burgers and everything.
Yeah,
I like the smaller. I'm not going to consume 2 days worth of calories in one sitting. Hardee's, but they have a solid product. There's one down the road. I have eaten there once or twice. Harper loves to go and get an apple pie at the Hardee's. So every once in a while, we'll be okay. We'll go get the apple pie, and it kind of makes her day. Which I too, as a child, did love the apple pies at the Hardee's. It's the same way they used to make them when we were kids. It's one thing that's still the same there, I would say.
So what's really interesting is when people say about apple pies, that's how they used to make it when we were kids. I feel as though I didn't grow up in the best of house, because I can't have one memory remembering, let alone several apple pies. Apple pie.
You didn't have
one.
You didn't have uno. You don't remember like how the apple pies tasted at McDonald's, and maybe I say too much fast food as a kid. I mean, this could be the opposite.
Yeah. McDonald's. I thought we were talking about old around, you know, Grandma Williams.
Well, that too.
The pie with the rhubarb and what have you. Yes, at McDonald's, absolutely. And the Happy Meal and the smell, which now current day you smell that and you kind of want to. It's not a welcoming smell. You would more so much welcome a home-cooked meal, maybe out on the grill, out by the lake. But as a child, that McDonald's smell, I mean, that's Christmas right there. It doesn't matter if it's April 4th or December 24th.
That's true. There's nothing better than, like, opening that Happy Meal box and then that
just hits you.
Yeah. And as a kid, you go home and, like, oh, God, Dad's grilling. Can't we just get McDonald's instead? You know, and you'd want that. Although my parents did kind of grill things to hockey puck consistency. But still, the smell was appealing and a happy smell. But as a kid, you just want the processed McDonald's, which still, I'm surprised there's not like air fresheners that have Happy Meal scents to them. And you could just kind of waft around your office and just see how everyone would react.
I now have plans this evening. I'm going to patent it.
On the next episode, you'll be selling Happy Meal air fresheners. And they come in the little shape of a little Happy Meal box that plugs into the wall. Except
you're already an EPP, but do you have a Ronald McDonald or Hamburglar-shaped Grimace chicken McNugget scented air freshener for your RAV4?
You could have like all different shapes, different smells of different food products.
I can already picture it. Maybe one in the Playland shape, Grimace, Hamburglar, Ronald, all different from French fry to original to sweet and sour sauce. Maybe concoct a dessert one for the apple pie. Oh, goodness. I'm going to make at least $37.
Can you imagine what the Playland one would smell like? It would smell like
vomit. Vomit and
sneakers and socks. Exactly. But with a slight tinge of rubber for all the balls from the ball tank that were in there. And that's
the one where if somebody is hanging it from their blinker and their Corolla, you breathe through your mouth or you Uber. Exactly. Yeah.
It's like, oh, my God. All right. I think on that note, we'll wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Sign up to be an EPP extra podcast person on our website over at ghostpodcast.com. We cannot do this thing without you. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.